Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Scott Spinelli, the host of The Breakdown on Believe, college basketball analyst, by the way, also former Boston College interim head basketball coach and one of the top recruiters in the country when he was in the game. Scott, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Real glad to be here with you today.
You have to look at your – I'm not telling you anything. You have to look at your personnel and say, what's the best way for me to win? Like Micah Shrewsbury here, he knew he had to have good lockdown, hard-nosed defense to get Penn State into games and be competitive. But there's been a trend nationally because when Purdue played Iowa, you know, and I was just out at the Big Ten tournament, those are the number one and three ranked offenses in the country. Gonzaga is second. Arizona, Tommy Lloyd brought the Gonzaga philosophy with him to Arizona. He's just doing it now with better athletes. Is college basketball now becoming more like college football where it's the offensive end?
Well, to your point, first of all, if you could be complete on both ends of the floor.
Oh, yeah. No, you want both.
Right. And, you know, if you look at Gonzaga right now, they're tops in both categories as well as a team like, well, Purdue at one point was. They dropped off defensively as the year went, but they're very good, you know, also if they really get refocused defensively. But to your point, I think this. I mean, the three-point line is the great equalizer, right?
Yes.
And I think the game is evolving, and it started with, you know, the NBA, what Golden State did. You know, it's a game now of skill. And back when we were playing, or at least when I was playing, it was all about athleticism, length, and size. And, you know, I think now if you're recruiting, if you're putting a team together, your focus has to be on recruiting guys who are skilled players, specifically guys that can shoot the three. And then if you could get savvy kids who really understand how to play, which is who Notre Dame is, then I think you've hit the jackpot in terms of what you're looking for. But the game has changed, to your point.
And what's interesting is that you bring up, you know, you and I both know Mike Bray wants to be old, stay old, which I would like to point out that at this stage of my life I've perfected. you could steal that line. But I look at Kentucky. And when you and I both know that John went one and young, but he's gone now to being older, to mixing in some of the young players with him. What do you think this transfer portal is doing now to the quality in the tournament because we're seeing older players?
Again, just speaking from my philosophy, what I believe to be the most successful way of doing it, and again, to your point, there are teams that are doing differently. But I'm going to give you an example. Let's take a team like St. Mary's.
Yes.
St. Mary's basically, and they're going to be very, very difficult to beat in this tournament, by the way.
Yep.
They have a team that's really, old. They're experienced. They're all upperclassmen. Their top six players are either a super senior, a couple other seniors, and three juniors. And, you know, if you can get old within, to me,
yes,
there's something to be said about,
yes,
that, right? And you're developing those players into your system. You know, there's a camaraderie, a chemistry. There's also, you know, those kids are going to college where they're actually, there's classmates. So people are kind of, you know, they're rallying behind one another. That's what college basketball at one point was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of now, you know, we were at Boston College and we had it turned, and all of a sudden we lose a kid to the lottery after his junior year, and we didn't have the transfer portal. So that transfer portal, I do think, is valuable to sprinkle in. But again, for me, I think the best programs, and there are some in this tournament that have, gotten old within, and they're going to be the teams to really look out for to me in this tournament.
Which player was that? That wasn't Reggie, was it?
No, it was Jerome Robinson.
Yeah, Jerome Robinson. Yeah. Yep. Okay, I remember this, Scott. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's, you sit back and go, great. Oh, great. Yeah, he's a great boy. Great.
I know.
He's too good.
Right. And, you know, and the fun thing about that is, like, you know, I'm sure like with what Penn State's doing too. I mean, you know, finding those under the radar guys and then developing them and watch them, you know, develop. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, it's too fast. We need you another year. But, you know, or you can't turn down an opportunity to be the first lottery pick in Boston College history, right? So anyways, so I think that's what can hurt programs too when they lose those type of guys.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. You know, you get that, hey, you know, we beat out everybody, and then he develops, and you're like, could you slow your development just a little bit? That would really help us a lot if you did.
No question.
So when you look at teams that – I want to get to Iowa for a moment. Iowa won, I think, like 9 of their last 10, something like that. Virginia Tech won – people don't realize they won 13 of the last 15. Along the way. So those two teams, they get in the tournament. Their seeding didn't change much by winning the tournament. I think Virginia Tech probably got in because of it. What do you think about their ability to advance?
Well, I think it comes down to matchups. I mean, when you get into these tournament brackets and, you know, you're sitting there, you're looking at, okay, who are we getting ready to play? And, you know, so often you could have the best team in a 7-game series, but in a 1-game matchup where maybe your weaknesses are their strengths or they can exploit some of your weaknesses, that's what makes the NCAA tournament really fun. And if you look at Iowa Richmond, Iowa's got their hands full.
Oh my God.
Old team. Oh my God. And then, you know, to your point, they're playing – some of these guys play defenses that you haven't seen. They'll play matchup. They'll play 2-3 zone. I mean, UAB will play multiple defenses within a possession, and you haven't seen some of that stuff. They'll go from zone to man when the ball goes to the corner. So, like, there's things that just you haven't seen in terms of during your conference. But, again, I think Iowa obviously is a fun team to watch. They're explosive. But again, that Richmond team is dangerous, as you saw in the A-10 tournament.
Yep.
To me, Virginia Tech and Texas are two teams that have done it totally different ways. Texas and Coach Beard have the 5-star guys, the 4-star players. You know, they're a team that's really built in terms of a defensive identity. And then you look at a team like Virginia Tech that has, you know, Coach Young came from Wofford, a small Division I school.
Yep.
He brought some of his guys with him, and they have mostly mid-major players who have developed, who are older, and who have come up within his system. So, and they're an excellent 3-point shooting team. They led the ACC. They're going to be a tough out. So I think, again, you know, a lot of these teams that we're seeing, you know, again, it comes down to the matchup, and they could get beaten any of these rounds if the matchup, you know, doesn't favor them.
That's why when I looked at Kentucky's path, I see one favorable matchup after another. What do you see?
I think Kentucky has a tough road ahead of them. I think that second, we all know, you know, St. Peter's is a team that defensively is really good.
They're really
now.
Good. Yeah.
You know, and so you can't take them for granted. That second round game, I think Murray State is really good, but I also think San Francisco is under the radar. They play that West Coast Conference was brutal this year. It was a lot better than people thought it was. That's not going to be easy. And to me, Purdue, and you saw them, I think they're as complete as anybody. If they can get back to defending the way Coach Painter's teams have in the past, I mean, offensively, we know, you know, they've got, you know, with Ivy, and they've got some really powerful, explosive weapons offensively. They could be really tough to beat. And the sleeper team, to me, on that side is going to be St. Mary's. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yep.
What I believe to be a team that's going to be a really difficult team to beat on that side.
Yeah. I can see each level brings with it a different team, a different matchup, a different challenge. Tommy Lloyd goes from Gonzaga to Arizona. So obviously in a year, he brings that Gonzaga offensive philosophy with him. What do you like about what Arizona has done?
Well, he put together a roster. Now, again, you know, a roster of skilled players. You know, he's been kind of known over the years you know, to recruit internationally. And as you and I both know, a lot of those kids that they're bringing over, at least, in, you know, for the most part, are guys who can all pass, dribble, and shoot, right, the European-type game. You know, they inherited a kid, Benedict Mathurin, a guard from Montreal, who is he's really good.
Yeah.
And so they have all the pieces. But, you know, I think I'll throw this point at you. What Coach Lloyd has done, and I think you're going to see this with Coach Shrewsbury there and a lot of the high-level assistants who have great experience in the profession, I think they have a big advantage right now. I think the game has changed as it relates to coaching. Yeah. I think it's become relationship-based coaching. And if you've been a long-time experienced assistant, especially at these high levels, you understand you know, how to communicate with these kids. I mean, there's you hold them accountable, you hold yourself accountable, and at the, but at the same time, cultivating these relationships where these kids trust you. You know, the days of being a negative, critical dictator, you know, are over. I mean, you know, you really have to be able to communicate with these kids, and they have to want to play for you. And so I, you know, you love the job Coach, you know, Lloyd has done, you know, at Arizona. Look at Mark Adams. He's 65 years old. He's first head coaching job. And he's killing it. So I do think the high-level experience assistants that are out there getting these opportunities, I think they're going to be a lot more successful just because of, again, you know, the relationships that have been cultivated over the years. They're the ones dealing with these kids after when they're an assistant, when they lose, when they go through the ups and downs in college and, you know, talking to the kids and keeping them on that path. So, again, with everything that's changed today, I think they're valuable right now in terms of you know, the high level experience assistant and being successful as head coaches.
And you know what's important about what you just said, Scott? In the recruiting process, when you quote lose a kid in the recruiting process, keep the relationship strong and going because the transfer portal may bring him back to you.
That's a great point. It's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point. Yep.
Your final four would be for the interested out there?
I tell you what, I'm going to start with the West. You know, I think a lot of people have written Duke off, and obviously, I'm, you know, deep down you're rooting for Gonzaga just because, you know, Coach Few and the incredible job they've done out there, and they got a heck of a ball club. But I got to tell you, there is no statistic or analytical number that you can put on the will to win and the emotion and the drive. And I think Duke and those young kids and what they went through the last game of the year, the emotion there at Cameron, you know, seeing all those legendary players back. I mean, practically the entire world, you know, watching Coach K in his last home game. I think that was a little bit too big for those kids.
Yeah.
And I think they became emotionally drained from that. Now, they went to the ACC tournament. They got to the championship. But if you really watch the tournament, they weren't themselves. I mean, their defensive focus just wasn't there. They weren't pressuring the ball. Their one-pass positioning was not there. Their two-pass positioning and help side wasn't there.
Yeah.
Their point-of-ball screen defense wasn't there. I think when Duke got back to Cameron and they were in that film room, I think they're going to be super focused, refocused, dialed into the defensive end of the floor. And they are going to be a very difficult team because, as we just talked about, the will to win on St. Coach K off will be there. I like Duke. I do like Purdue on that bottom bracket in the East. I think Baylor's the most vulnerable one seed just because they got two of their best players. I mean, L.J. Cryer and the big kid Jonathan, they're both out.
Right.
And they still were able to get to where they are. But I like Purdue on that side. I love Villanova. I think their team is built to win in the tournament with Gillespie healthy and back, unconventional style in terms of going perimeter to post with their guards and really, you know, lighting you up from the three, and they've got great versatility. I like Villanova. And in that bottom bracket, I think I have to take Auburn just because I think they're complete with Kessler, you know, in the middle, making up for a lot of breakdowns defensively. But that's just my thought.
Scott's great stuff. Let's see, New England guy. Let's see, I want to say born in Leominster?
Plastic factory capital of the world, Leominster, Mass. Yeah.
Okay. I'm the only host in the country outside of Massachusetts that actually can pronounce it correctly. It is Leominster, Fitchburg, and Leominster. Okay, because Penn State is a kid from Haverhill. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. So, you know the area.
Oh no, I grew up in New England. I grew up right near the Basketball Hall of Fame. So.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. Hey, what a pleasure. I hope this isn't the last time we have you on, because I had a blast with this. So thank you.
Anytime. I'm just glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Okay.